Thursday, July 23rd, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Recent big news was that the United States ordered China to close its embassy in Houston, Texas. They have 72 hours to vacate the premises, and they were burning important documents. The Chinese ambassador was interviewed last weekend asking publicly if the United States was going to tolerate China's rise in the world. I would think that they got their answer. Beijing vows to retaliate against the embassy closure. If it is tit for tat, then okay. This is another in what has been a stream of confrontations, including multiple carrier battle groups in the South China Sea, after repudiating their territorial claim there. This thing is on a course to blow up. The current closure was attributed to intellectual property theft. They may well have been running data theft operations out of the embassy. The Justice Department charged two Chinese hackers with IP theft Tuesday, and the order to close the embassy followed. There are dozens of chafing inflection points that could lead to a bigger scrape. The question is, when they retaliate for this, do we retaliate back? This tit-for-tat can get out of control. USDA announced new purchases of soybeans, mostly to China. They're making regular purchases until they stop. Frankly, selling ag products to China is about the only material export market that can make a real difference to U.S. net farm income. There's not a lot of evidence in being able to sustain this, phase one. What President Trump and trade advisor Peter Navarro want from China, which has only been vaguely defined, Xi Jinping is not going to give them. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer could not even say with the objective what China was. It would have helped our leverage if we had handled the pandemic as well as they did. The closure of the embassy in Houston shows that the hardliners led by Peter Navarro are in charge of foreign policy as well as trade policy. This will provoke something from China. The embassy closure is not enough to pay for the crimes that Donald J. Trump believes were committed by China. This will provoke a nationalistic response in China, where the hardliners and moderates compete for control of their policy toward us. Some see them closing our consulate in Wuhan, as it is virtually closed anyway because of the COVID-19 epicenter there. A different response or something more than that will likely push our hardliners into a larger pushback, and at some point, the tit-for-tat gets carried away. China has been demanding COVID-19-free certification of imports, but not disrupting trade because of it. That could change. China is now expected to crush 95 million metric tons of soybeans in their next marketing year. Their data says that their hog herd is not rapidly recovering, but their soybean demand is. Brazil will reportedly expand their soybean acreage enough to fill Chinese demand. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. The U.S. dollar went south. The European Union crushed the virus and then enacted a $2 trillion stimulus that went beyond being a COVID-19 recovery plan to a restructuring of the European Union debt. The EU has been a union of rich northern have countries and poor southern have nots. Germany just bailed out Italian banks, bagging more than one bird in this crisis recovery. We, however, are a basket case where half the people would not even wear masks in a pandemic. With the aisles of Congress so far apart on another COVID aid tranche, it'll take a miracle to close the polarization. Republicans have 15 different versions in their own caucus, and Rand Paul stormed out. The euro was not looking so bad against the dollar after all. By the way, the Chinese economic recovery makes ours look pathetic. I guess that their pandemic conspiracy to get ahead of us worked. At some point, the weaker dollar will benefit U.S. commodities. Both the real and ruble strengthened against the dollar, while the Ukrainian currency fell. Egypt bought Ukrainian wheat. While the U.S. has been losing market share of the global feed grain and soybean trade, larger beef and pork exports indirectly export corn, soy, and DDGs. Given a choice, we'd rather export value-added products over plain commodities. The U.S. Meat Export Federation says that in 2019, pork and beef exports used 480 million bushels of corn and 3 million tons of DDGs. They see pork and beef exports adding 46 cents to the price of corn and 76 cents to the price of soybeans. The bad news is that the price of ethanol had dropped 20 cents a gallon, which would snuff out the margin that plants had been working on. The good news, I guess, is that that would make the price a dime cheaper than unleaded gas. We don't want cheap ethanol, but a competitive price incentivizes blending. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.